There's a word that Brother Zach had mentioned last week, and something that we want to put up here and behind, together with the verse that we have. And that is Philippians 4:13. Good word to keep before us in this new year. It's one of my, not just a favorite word, but I have sought for it to be true in many, many, many situations, many circumstances in the 48 years that I've known the Lord. And right through the years, I could say this: I can do all things through Him, through Christ, who strengthens me. Keep that before you, my brothers and sisters. We're going to have it up here. Brother Zach has asked, we're working on it. With Christ, I can do nothing on one side. Without Christ, I can do nothing. And with Christ, I can do everything. That's, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Without Christ, I can do nothing. With Christ, I can do everything. Keep that before you. Let God burn that into your spirit. Not just for 2017, but in the coming days. We would need that more and more as we seek to follow the Lord and fulfill His purpose here on earth. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And Paul said that in context of, you know, verse 11. He says, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. And that's something that I'm learning. And I've learned in different situations to be content in whatever circumstances God puts me in. He says, I know how to get along with humble means, verse 12, also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having an abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, through Him who strengthens me. And keep that before us, and not just to make us feel comfortable, not just to encourage us. It does, because we can be encouraged and challenged that we can do all things through Him, through Christ who strengthens us. And to realize that without Him I can do nothing. I can do nothing on my own initiative. Jesus Himself said that. And I want to say in the light of that, that our calling in the church is to strengthen and encourage one another. I hope you recognize that. I said that at the beginning of this year, perhaps it was the closing. I quoted that word in Isaiah 35. You like to look at it. Verses 3 and 4. I said, let this be a year when this will be true in our lives. Isaiah 35. Verse 3 and 4 says, encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. And I said I wanted that in my life for 2017, and it's not just 2017. I've sought to do that in the 41 years that I've been in this church. Because I feel it's not just my calling in ministry. Brother Zach has one ministry. I have another ministry. Newton, Charles, Vetri. We all major on one area so that the body, the saints are equipped. The ultimate purpose is the saints are equipped and the body is built. So it's not just for me. It's not just for the elders. But I want to challenge you, my brothers and sisters, make this your calling. and your ministry. Don't look for anything else. You can do 101 other things. But make it this your calling. And ask God to, like we just said, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. So I can strengthen and encourage others. That means, like I said, there are many people who are weak. There are many who are sick. There are many who need attention. We don't just leave them to the elders. We don't think, yeah, it'll work out okay. No. You and I are called to strengthen and encourage one another. And that's what we read in Isaiah 35. That's what God said to Isaiah. Encourage the exhausted. Strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart. Many people sitting here with anxious heart. Take courage and fear not. In a lovely verse in Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 12. You can look at it. A lovely verse then. The whole chapter where that God speaks about His people, about saving them, restoring them. A lot of wonderful things God says He will do there. And finally in verse 12, the end of that chapter, God says, and I will strengthen them in the Lord, and in His name they will walk, declares the Lord. God Almighty, that's what God Almighty says. I will strengthen them in the Lord, and in His name they will walk. As a result of me strengthening them, they will walk in His name. That is God's will and purpose for everyone, that we walk in His name. It says, you know, we are not to judge the servant of another. Before his master he stands, and stand he will, and God is able to make him stand. We don't look for somebody to fall, something, some calamity to happen. Do you wish that for anybody? Somebody you can't get along with? Somebody who's done something to you or said something about you, about your family, you wish that something would happen? God says, no, I'll make him stand. And so, we are to strengthen one another. And it says, God says, that in His name they will walk. God, they will walk in His name. And my strengthening and encouraging the brothers and sisters that God has given me is that they will walk in His name. And this is what we see with the apostles. This is what we see in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 3, verse 2. He says that Paul says that we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ. I like that. Not only a brother, but God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. Paul sent Timothy to the church in Thessalonica to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. And then we see in Acts chapter 14, there are many, you can go through, encourage you to go through the book of Acts and see that that was the ministry, that was the calling of the apostles. That's what they did, all Paul's fellow workers. Leave the censuring, the rebuke and the correction to just one or two. Usually it's just one. That's enough in a church. You don't meet too many people to censure and rebuke and correct. And yeah, the elders have a responsibility there. But ultimately, it's to strengthen and encourage one another. And here in Acts chapter 14, if you read there that Paul, you know, he got stoned there. He had a tremendous revival, and as they preached the gospel, they traveled to many cities, Acts chapter 14. And it says in Acts chapter 14, they spent a long time, verse 3, speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord. And it says there that many, many believed, many became disciples. And they continued on, and they went on to Lystra. And there was a man, it says in verse 8, who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb. And he was listening to Paul as he spoke. And then Paul found that he had faith to be healed. And he healed him. He leaped up and began to walk. And then, you know what happened? They thought they were gods. These were the gods come down, Paul and Barnabas, and they gave them names also of their pagan gods. And they stopped them from sacrificing, and there was a tremendous revival, a tremendous moving of God's Spirit, and many came to believe. But the Jews from Antioch, where they had just come, and Iconium, they one of the crowds, and they stoned Paul, verse 19, and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. I don't know, he probably died also, but God raised him. They stoned him and carried him out of the city, and the disciples, verse 20, stood around him. He got up and entered the city. And the next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. And after they had preached the gospel to that city, and many made many disciples, they returned to Lystra. Just imagine this, coming back to the place where he was stoned to death, and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening, this is what I want you to see, in that condition, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Imagine how it is, just stoned, he'd have had bad bruises and all that, but God raised him. And what did he do? Went back to the same place and went back to all these places, encouraging and strengthening the disciples, saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And then you look at Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, when some people came and preached circumcision, said you had to be circumcised apart from believing in Christ. People who were not sent. And then it was reported, you know, Paul and Barnabas went to the church in Antioch and reported, and Peter took a stand there, said, we're not going to put a yoke upon the disciples that they cannot bear. And so they sent a letter saying, these are the only things we want you to do. We want you to keep away from idols, don't eat food contaminated with idols, keep away from fornication, and don't eat anything that's got blood in it. That's the only thing. And it says here that when they came back, in verse 30, and they sent Judas and Silas together, the church at Jerusalem, and they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, it says they rejoiced because of its encouragement. Judas and Silas, also being prophets themselves, encouraged and strengthened the brethren with a lengthy message. Isn't that so good? That a letter that they received brought encouragement, and Judas and Silas together with Paul and Barnabas strengthened the brethren, and it says with a lengthy message. And Jesus said to Peter, you know, before Peter fell, and in fact he said in verse 28 of Luke chapter 22, you are those who have stood with me in my trials. You know, Jesus also needed to be strengthened and encouraged. In fact, so much that God sent an angel to strengthen him when he was praying with agony in Gethsemane. He needed strength, he needed encouragement. Do you think that the elders and brothers, and even a brother like Brother Zach, doesn't need strength and encouragement? Daniel says that when Darius became king, he says, I arose to be a protection and encouragement for him. That's a word that God has spoken to me this year. I arose to be a protection and encouragement. Do we see that for one another, that to be a protection and encouragement for each other? And I was saying that Jesus said, you are those who stood with me in my trials, Luke 22, 28. But just a little after that, in the same breath, he says to Peter, he says, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith may not be failed. You're going to fall, Peter, but I prayed that your faith will not fail, that when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. That's what he told Peter. You're going to fall, Peter. Satan has got the permission. He's going to sift you like wheat, just to bring you down a bit, to humble your pride. I pray that your faith will not fail, but when you are restored, Strengthen your brothers. That you know, even when you have fallen and you're restored, that you can strengthen. You don't go back in a corner and say, oh, I'm not fit. I shut my mouth. I will not share. I will not speak. He says, strengthen your brothers. We need to be strengthened, my brothers and sisters. We can't strengthen each other if we are not strengthened. I hope you recognize that. And we can't strengthen ourselves. We need a strengthening. We need to be strengthened. I want you to look at this word God has laid on my heart in Ephesians in chapter 3. Ephesians in chapter 3, Paul says, there are two prayers that Paul prays for this church in Ephesus. He prays in chapter 1, verse 17, that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He prayed that they would get revelation. And here in Ephesians chapter 3, he prays that God will give them power. And where was they to experience this power? He says, yeah, I pray that God will strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit in the inner man. Ephesians 3, verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. And we need that strengthening. I cannot strengthen my brothers and sisters, and I cannot strengthen myself if I'm not strengthened with power, the power of the Holy Spirit in my inner man. And this is not just not speaking in tongues. It's not the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's not being able to prophesy. This is a strengthening in our inner man, in our personality, that lifts us, that always keeps us encouraged so that we can strengthen others in spite of whatever problems we may have, and whatever difficulties we may face, whatever trials we may be going through, that all the time I can be strengthened. But if I give up when I go through some trial, something happens in the home, something happens in the work spot, and I lose faith and lose courage, I'm not in a position to strengthen and encourage others. So you and I need this strengthening continually in our inner man, in our personality, so that we can strengthen and encourage others. And that's what Paul prayed there. If you look at this prayer in verse 14, he said, this reason I bow my knees before the Father. For what reason? You know, when you read scriptures, always good to see. When you see therefore, when you see for this reason, go back and see. Therefore, why is it there? No, chapter 4 is an unfortunate chapter division there. Therefore, he begins there and talks there about walking in humility and gentleness. You know, after he praise this prayer for the Ephesian church. He says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. For what reason? He speaks there about the unfathomable riches of Christ that are given to us Gentiles. If you have going through Brother Zach's through the Bible, you'll see that God has made us rich, immensely rich. That Jesus has given us all his inheritance. He says there that he had the responsibility, verse 9, to bring to light was the administration of the ministry which for ages have been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold, listen to this, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church, not through individuals, but through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. For this reason, he says, I bow my knees. This God is doing a wonderful thing. He has brought Jew and Gentile together in Jesus. He's brought us from different communities, different backgrounds, Malayalis, Telugu, Anglo-Indians, Tamilians, and whatever language, whatever background, whatever culture. This is the manifold wisdom of God in bringing us together and making us one body. I hope you see it. The many-colored wisdom of God is made manifest. God is showing to the authorities in the heavenly places, to the angels, and also to all the demons and to Satan himself. See what I am doing, that I can bring people together who are so vastly different and make them one. And Paul says, he was so taken up with that. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives his name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. And I want to ask you, my brothers and sisters, this morning, have you been strengthened? Have you received that strengthening in your inner man through the power of the Holy Spirit? When you say you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, have you received that strengthening? It's not a once and for all thing. It's something that I need every day to be strengthened in my inner man through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the only way we can strengthen and encourage others. It's not just saying, praise the Lord, brother. Take courage, brother. But that there can be power in what, even if I have to speak a word to somebody. My spirit encourages somebody, not just mere words. Not just cooking something or visiting somebody. It's more than that, my brothers and sisters, to strengthen and encourage one another. That a lot of people do, and they think that's the only way they can build fellowship. No, my brothers and sisters need strength and encouragement. And my responsibility, my calling is to strengthen and encourage them. And he says there, it goes on, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that's how we strengthen one another, that Christ will dwell in our hearts. Not just that Jesus Christ lives in me, but does he feel at home in me? Like Brother Zach wrote in his Through the Bible, is Christ feeling at home? Does he feel at home? It's one thing to have Christ in your heart. It's quite another thing for him to feel at home in you when you have a guest in your house, like he writes. You know, you can feel very comfortable in some houses. You can walk into any room. You can walk into the kitchen. You're free there because, you know, your host tells you, just feel free. This is your home. But there are some homes where you can feel uncomfortable. And that's what he says there. So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Is Jesus at home in your heart and mind? Does he feel at home that he can walk in and take full control of my life? That is what it means to be strengthened. And in the Message Bible it says, I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength. A glorious inner strength. That I can open up my life. That there's no room that is locked up. You know, you have somebody living in your house. There's one room. No, you should not go in there. But when I'm strengthened in the inner man and I allow the Holy Spirit to open up every door in my life, and there's no door, no room that is left locked. Everything is open. I'm not ashamed to let him open up everything. Not like Martha who said, when Jesus said, remove the stone. She said, no. There'll come a stink there. So he's dead 4 days. And do we feel like that? There's something, some area in our life. No, Lord, not yet. Maybe later on I'll open up that room to you. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen us in our inner man, we say, Lord, everything. I open up even the rooms that will bring a stink, open it up, because you can clean up that stink. You can do what you told Martha. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. That's what that strengthening means, my brothers and sisters. When I'm strengthened that way, I can strengthen and encourage others. That no matter what your life is, no matter how, you know, nobody knows anything, no matter what stink comes from you, but allow Jesus, make Jesus feel at home in your heart. Let him take over your life, open up every room. And there are four things that take place when we are strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit in our inner man. It's all there. The first thing, like I said, you know, Christ will feel at home in our hearts. And the next thing is that we get rooted and grounded in the love of God. You read it there in verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded like a tree, like an oak tree that's roots is so deep. Let any storm come, but it'll stand there. Other trees and other buildings will fall, but it stands firm. That's what it means to be rooted in the love of Christ. I know that Jesus loves me so much. He'd pay any price. That's what he says to his people. He'd trade off the nations just to get them, to buy them back. That's how precious you and me are in His sight. And to be so rooted in that love. He loves me that if I was the only person living on the earth, He would still come and die for me. And that is something that has changed my life 48 years ago and brought me to Christ. Now, not just 48 years, but to remain in that. No matter how it is, like Peter, he said to Peter, "You're going to fall, Peter, but I prayed for you that your faith will not fail." And to be so assured of this love, to be so rooted and grounded, like this building that has a foundation that you can build many floors on it, to be so rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. And it says there, we're reading on there, and you may be able to comprehend, verse 18, with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and the height and depth, and know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That is what God has called us to. And when we come into that life, like I was saying, then we can strengthen and encourage others. Otherwise, we just are seat warmers in the church. We come and enjoy the times of fellowship. But how much, I want to ask you this morning, how much, is there somebody that you were able to strengthen and encourage this last week? We are having meetings now in, you know, in different localities and meeting together in groups. How is it? You got some clever thing to share? You got some clever thing to preach? Or do you go to encourage? Do you go to strengthen? Lord, give me something. I don't want to just vomit out something stale that I got last week, yesterday, but something to encourage my brothers and sisters. That's why we started these meetings, that we can encourage one another. In 2 minutes, you can say a lot to encourage one another. If we just take 2 minutes, you don't have to preach long sermons. 2 minutes. Last Wednesday, I went there. I only feel, I don't know why, that sometimes people are intimidated by the presence of elders, Brazak or me or any other. I don't know. But I said, "Lord, I didn't come here to speak. I came here to listen. I came here to get encouraged." But then I was asked to give something. In 5 minutes, I could bless the brothers and sisters gathered there with something God gave me. Encourage me that I can encourage others. So that's what I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to be so rooted and grounded in Christ's love. It says there that together with all the saints, and that's what I want you to notice, I want to underline, that we be able to comprehend with all the saints. Not just a few of them, my favorites, those who speak my language, those who are from my community, but with all the saints, what is the length and breadth and height and depth, know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. That's how it is. And if you're only just gathering together with your community, those for your culture, those you can get along with, you're losing out on the length and breadth and height and depth of the love of Christ. You're getting just a little bit. There's so much more that God has given us, brothers and sisters. We are unique here in CFC Bangalore. That God has given us different ones, different cultures, different backgrounds, not just different intelligent levels. So many things where we can taste the fullness of the love of Christ, the volume of it, and be lost in it. But if you're just selective with a select few, I want to tell you, you are living a very impoverished life. Just think of it. And I thought of that illustration that Brother Zach mentioned, and he's spoken it here also in relation to Ephesians. The riches that we have in Christ is that little beggar girl with a tin can. And the prince comes along and she has a tin can. And he says, "I want to marry you." It was my brother's action. And she's shocked and surprised. But he marries her. He says, "All that I have now is yours. Throw away your tin can." But I want to say that some of us, even after coming into the church, after coming to Christ, we are like that little beggar girl. We don't see how much we have been given. The unfathomable riches there, verse 8 of Ephesians 3. The unfathomable riches that we Gentiles have been given. We have a privilege. It's given not to Israel, but to us Gentiles. The unfathomable riches of Christ. We have been made rich. We have an inexhaustible bank account. I can draw from it. It'll never exhaust. And if my account is getting depleted, and I'm being depleted in love, you know, there's a coldness, there's a distance that's coming in between me and between another brother or between you and another sister, and that account is being depleted, it means that you've not been going and drawing. You stopped going to the bank. God invites us, my brothers and sisters, that to strengthen us in our inner man. And if we see what God has given us in Christ, it is so awesome to just get a little taste of it. It'll help us to fellowship with one another and help us to find our place in the church. He speaks there, Brother Zach speaks about spiritual arthritis, you know, like a body, you know, that if your hand or your limbs are stiff, that's because of arthritis. It can be like that. If there's a stiffness and a coldness between the brothers and sisters, there's something wrong, not with them, but something wrong with me. And I need medicine, like he says, you need to take some medicine, and that medicine is to die to yourself, fall into the ground and die. Lay down your life. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And if God so loved us, He says we ought to love one another. And 1 John 3:16, that as He laid down His life for us, we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. That is the medicine for all spiritual arthritis. And then we can find our, not just find our place in the church, but be bonded together with bonds that cannot be broken. And that's what he says there in chapter 4. But before that, he says, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. According to the power that works within us. What is that power? That strengthening in the inner man. That power of the Holy Spirit that you and I need in our inner man. And God is able to do far more exceeding abundantly. In the Living Bible it says, glory be to God who by His mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we could ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts or hopes. May He be given glory forever and ever through endless ages because of His master plan of salvation for the church through Jesus Christ. That's how it is, my brothers and sisters. That's what God has called you and me to enjoy, to receive. And all we need to do, like Paul says, he said, I bow my knees and pray that God will strengthen you through the power of the Holy Spirit in your inner man. And the result of that strengthening, then you can strengthen and encourage others. That's how it was with the early church. They enjoyed meeting together, not just that they had their food together. They enjoyed the fellowship with each other. That's how it must be. That's how it was in the beginning. And we want to preserve that. So let's not just think about ourselves, me and my family, my problems, my difficulties. Let's really give ourselves, Lord, I want to make this year a year when I can strengthen and encourage my brothers and sisters. And so, Lord, I need that strengthening. I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my inner man so that you can feel at home in my heart and that I can comprehend together with all my brothers and sisters the length, the breadth, the height and depth and know the love of Christ that passes knowledge and be filled up with the knowledge of God. I want you to notice there the whole Trinity, Father, Son and Holy Spirit comes into our lives, into these bodies. It's not just pie in the sky. It's reality that the whole Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit comes to live in this body. To strengthen me, to keep me encouraged all the time. Not just for myself, to make me feel comfortable, but to encourage the brothers and sisters. May God give us grace that we will make 2017 a year where we strengthen and encourage one another. Amen.
We are called human beings, not human doings. We are beings. That's why we are prone to discouragement. Every person born in this world at some time or the other was discouraged. We heard even Jesus wanted to be strengthened. An angel came and strengthened him in Gethsemane. And even the Apostle Paul, he needed encouragement. We'll look into that later. And one of the fiery prophets in the Old Covenant, Prophet Elijah, he was discouraged. After a mighty victory that he won on Mount Carmel, when a lady, a queen, threatened to kill him, he ran away from her. He was bold before the king, her husband Ahab, but when the queen threatened to kill, he ran away. And he was so discouraged and sitting under a juniper tree, and an angel comes and gives him some food and encourages him and strengthens him. You see, we all need encouragement. Anybody who says that I don't need encouragement is not true. He's just lying. Even from king to a pauper needs encouragement. Brother Ian quoted about King Darius. He was the king of the then world's superpower, Darius. And you know what Daniel did? He said, I stood up to be an encouragement for the king. Turn with me to Daniel 11, chapter 1, verse 1. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I arose to be an encouragement and a protection for him. The king of the world, the only superpower of that time, Darius was the ruling king at that time, and Daniel found something lacking in that king, and he decided that I better arise and be an encouragement for this king and be a protection for him. I don't know what it means. Probably somebody was plotting something against him or not. He says, I stood up for a protection for him, he says. Here is an ordinary man trying to encourage and protect a king, great king. And in another place, in 1 Samuel 23, verse 16, it says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, King Saul's son, arose and went to David at Horesh and encouraged him in God. Here is a king to be. A would-be king, a prince, he is encouraging an ordinary soldier in his kingdom. See, a soldier needs encouragement, a king needs encouragement, a prophet needs encouragement, and the Son of God needs encouragement and strength. We all are in between. We all need encouragement, we all need strengthening, because at some point of time or the other, we have all gone through or will go through in life situations where, you know, they pull us down, they drag us down, they make us lose heart and courage. That's why we need one another. That's why the Lord has put us together in the body, so that we may encourage one another. God has not made us to be loners like one Elijah, one Elisha, one John the Baptist, like in the Old Covenant. They were also depressed and they needed people. But in the New Covenant, God has put us together in the body, in a body, in the church, where we have one another, we are part of one another, we need one another, and that is why we are called to fellowship with one another. The very purpose of fellowship is not just coming and singing songs and listening to some message and go back. It is not just that. It's that so that we may, in our conversation with one another, without gossiping, talk to one another and see when a person's face has fallen down, when a person is carrying burden in his heart, or something has happened in his life. Now we can give a word of encouragement. A word does a miracle, like it says in Proverbs. A word of encouragement. We all need that. We read in, Brother Ian shared from Acts 15, when Paul was stoned to death, the disciples had gathered around. What for? I'm sure they were praying for him, gathered around his dead body, and they were praying, and then God raised him up. And then what does he do? He doesn't run away to another place. He goes back to the same place where they persecuted him and killed him. You see the boldness that God gives to his servants when the Holy Spirit comes upon them and fills them. The same person who was killed and stoned goes back to the same place. Just think of the boldness that this man had. And another instance in Acts 16, we know that very well. In Acts 16, he was imprisoned in Philippi, and he was beaten up and all that, and you know the story. Then the jailer got converted, and after all that, verse 40, chapter 16, verse 40, it says, he went out of the prison, both Paul and Silas, they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Actually, who was to be encouraged here? The people sitting comfortably at Lydia's home needed encouragement, or the people who came back beaten up, black and blue, from jail, they needed encouragement. In fact, they needed more encouragement than the people sitting at home. But these people come from prison. Instead of telling them to wash their wounds and to, you know, make a big thing out of that, they rather went and encouraged them who were sitting in the house. Just think of that. In the natural thing, we would go and, you know, try to gain some sympathy and pity from people, showing, see how I was beaten and look at my back and, you know, can you clean it up and give me some hot water, fermentation or things like that. It's not like that. They in fact went to them and they encouraged. It says in Proverbs 11, I think 25, he who waters others will be watered himself. If you are the type of person who goes around encouraging, God will make sure that you are encouraged quite a lot. More than what you give out, God will dish it out to you. More into your lap. We all need encouragement. And there's one more verse in chapter 28 of the same book, Acts 28, verse 15. Acts 28, verse 15, it says, the last part, when Paul saw certain disciples, he thanked God and took courage. You see, the very fact that some people came to see Paul, they didn't come and speak to him or give any sermon or anything like that, or quoted any scripture to encourage. They just came and Paul saw them. Just by seeing them, he said he took courage. You see, you can be an encourager, just like Job's friends, three friends, when they went to see Job when he was in distress. They went and saw him, and you know, the one good thing that they did was, for 7 days it says they didn't open their mouth. For 7 days there was peace on earth. For 7 days, Job had no problem with them, as long as they kept their mouth shut. And here these people, they didn't open their mouth. They just came and Paul saw them and took courage. Obviously, Job also must have seen those three friends and took courage for 7 days. But when they opened their mouth, then the troubles began. See, you can be an encourager just by going and with your presence you can bless a downhearted person. Especially when you go to visit some bereaved family who has lost their loved ones. What do you do there? You don't have to go and give a sermon. You can just go there, be with them. Maybe put your arms around them. Maybe you don't know what to say. It's good if you don't know what to say. Rather than opening your mouth and trying to give some unwise advice to them, or don't cry. You can't say that, don't cry. It is natural. Anybody will cry for the death of a person in the family. So you can just be around and be an encouragement. Paul needed encouragement so many times. Even here it says in the book of Colossians 4:11, it says, and justice, Jesus, who is also called justice, these are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. Paul says they were encouragement to me. And he says in Romans 1:12 also, Romans 1:12, it says that I may be encouraged together with you while I am among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. You see, even Paul the Apostle, such a great man of God, he wanted, so many times he says, please pray for me. And he said, I was encouraged to see so-and-so. I was encouraged by so-and-so's visit. And so-and-so came and visited me in prison. I was encouraged. If there was any man in the New Covenant, we would think that it was the Apostle Paul who didn't need encouragement. But he needed. We heard Brother Ian saying, you think Brother Zach doesn't need encouragement? We all need encouragement. You need, I need. My life partner needs, your life partner needs. Our children need encouragement. Our co-workers in the office perhaps. And our neighbors. We can have a word, like it says in Isaiah 50. He opens my ear morning by morning to listen to what he has to say, so that I may have a word to speak to someone who is discouraged, to strengthen someone, so that we may always be attuned to God, to listen to what he has to speak, so that I may give back the same word with which I have been comforted, with which God comforted me. Like Paul says in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, we get comfort and encouragement from God and we pass it on to others. And as you keep doing that, your encouragement will be increased. You will be watered more, so that you will be water more the brothers and sisters who are discouraged, downhearted. You can strengthen them and bless them, so that the body of Christ, the church, and different fellowships now in different places can all be built up and strengthened, so that there will not be one among us who is discouraged always. So one indication of a person who is always discouraged is that he is heading to depression. So it should not happen among us. We have been given brothers and sisters, so many of them, and elders and deacons with whom we can go to, and we can share our problems and get encouraged. But if your depression is persisting, maybe there could be some clinical problem. Maybe you need some medical help. Maybe there may be some deficiency in your body chemical deficiency. You need to be treated. Don't let that take a toll on your health. Get encouraged, brothers and sisters. Talk to one another. Fellowship with one another. The very purpose of our fellowshipping with one another is so that we may encourage and be encouraged. God bless us.
God has given us a purpose in our life. And you know, what's the purpose of a life? Our purpose in coming together as a church is written in Hebrews chapter 3. It's a well-known verse. We even recite many times. But it has to get rooted and grounded in our own heart. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called still today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You know, we come together to encourage one another. Again, Hebrews chapter 10. I like this verse. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25. Not forsaking our own assembling together, meeting together like this in the church or when we meet one another. Not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know, as the day draws near, it's our duty, it's our calling to encourage one another. We come as a church, we are assembling together to encourage one another. You know, many people go through so many trials and discouragement, even virtual worries. It's our duty to encourage them. It's our calling to encourage one another. I wish and I desire this gift. We can't even call it as a gift. It's a birthright to encourage others. I want to quote three scenarios where they had the spirit to encourage others and they strengthened themselves and to encourage others. Number one is one verse and scenario I really like in the Bible is 1 Samuel chapter 30. If you know the story, we see here David when he went to fight with the enemies. The other people, the Amalekites, came and took away everything from their camp and they looted everything and they destroyed everything. Here we see the scenario. Their people, when they come back, the David's men, they want to kill David. Because of him, they looted their wives, the children, they plundered everything. But the one verse really like is verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. The last part. And I want to read full. David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. All the people were embittered and each one because of his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in his Lord. That's a very important thing, my brothers and sisters. Before we encourage others, before we strengthen others, we should be rooted and grounded in God's love. We have to be rooted and grounded in who God is. He is our Heavenly Father. He will not let us go down. He will not leave us like orphans. David strengthened himself. This is my great challenge. He is my example. Whenever I get discouraged, I want to get strengthened in the Lord. Of course, I can go to people, I can give a phone call, I can ask people to pray for me. But very important thing as young people is we have to be rooted and grounded in God's love. We should be strengthened in the Lord as David did. David strengthened himself in his Lord. I encourage young people to take this as an example or as a role model. David as a role model, God will help us. And one more, we already read about Jonathan. Jonathan, I believe that David's encouragement, strengthening, and David's success all started with Jonathan. Because David was discouraged, he was running away from Saul. But Jonathan stood with him. And we already saw Jonathan, 1 Samuel chapter 23 verse 16. We don't have time to turn there. Jonathan strengthened, encouraged David in the Lord. And we have to encourage and strengthen our God's people to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. And in New Testament, I like one sister. And many, many times I wished I can be like this. Luke chapter 1, you know, here an angel came and spoke to Mary and angel conveyed that you're going to be mother of our Messiah, Lord Jesus Christ. And the same time, in the same during the same time, we also know that Elizabeth, in her old age, she conceived. Here, Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Now at this time, Mary rose and went with haste to the hill country, to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah, greeted Elizabeth. And it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. What a spirit the Mary had. She went to greet, encourage Elizabeth. The baby in Elizabeth's womb, you know, leaped. I wish I can have this spirit, my brothers and sisters. You know, we can even encourage the new, even the baby which is not born. Even verse 44, behold, I mean Elizabeth saying to Mary, behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ear, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. I covered this. You know, when we go to meet some family or even the pregnant sisters or women, or when we go to a hospital to see somebody who's in deathbed, who's in coma, who can't even see us. But if, when we are strengthened in the Lord, when we go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can encourage, as brother said, by speaking or by not speaking. I wish I have this spirit. And I believe God is going to fill me with the Holy Spirit to be like this. And I believe it's going to be true in people who are sitting here. And one more scenario. Acts chapter 27. You know the story, and they were, you know, they imprisoned Paul, and they were taking in the ship. You can go through that chapter. And here there was a storm in the sea. Verse 27. Acts chapter 27, verse 22. Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage. We know, if you read the previous verses, you know there was a storm and there was a big turmoil in the ship. And here Paul is a prisoner. He is encouraging the soldiers and the sailors. Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there shall be no loss among life among you, but only for the ship. For this very night the angel God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me. You know, Paul's supposed to be a prisoner. If in a normal scenario, if something happens, the prisoners will be always scheming how to jump in the sea and how to escape. But here, this man didn't do that, but he was encouraging the sailors. And verse 33, this is a good part, the same chapter, Acts chapter 27, verse 33. Until the day was about to dawn, Paul was encouraging them all to take some food. Sometimes we can encourage people by serving or calling them for a coffee or serving food. And this is again my great challenge in my life, that I wish I can serve people, not by words, by just serving food, snacks or water. Today is the 14th day that you have been constantly watching and going without eating, taking nothing. Therefore, I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation, not a hair from the head of any of you shall perish. And verse 36, all of them were encouraged. Paul just served food. All of them were encouraged, and they themselves all took food. You know, Paul did not get discouraged or turmoiled, even though there was a shipwreck in the. And if you read the later part, none of them died, and everybody reached safely, even though there was a damage to ship. All were encouraged. Paul did not get disturbed, because this man always rooted and grounded in God's love. Please turn with me to 2 Timothy verse 12. For this reason I suffered these things. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard, and I have entrusted to him until the day. And I could say boldly, I know whom I believe. My dear brothers and sisters, young people, we need to be rooted and grounded in God's love. We should know that we have a heavenly Father. When we are rooted and grounded in this love, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, even without words, with words, with practical things, we can encourage another. Amen.